This podcast is a member of the New York City Podcast Network at nycpodcastnetwork.com. Visit us to listen to over 250 amazing podcasts just like this one.
Japanese street style is some of the cutest and trendiest clothing in the world. Introducing Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing and Accessories, the hottest original and cute clothing company. We offer tops, clothes, accessories, shoes, dresses and skirts, and comfortable homeware that we guarantee you will love. Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing, super cute, Japanese style clothing.
This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Today, we're going to talk about food discipline and the water crisis. But before we get started, there's a song that I want you to listen to. The song is called Queen's Mix. It's by Queen's Revenge. It's on the New York City World Podcast Network Safe Music Directory. That's right, it's on the World Podcast Network Safe Music Directory. Thank you, and I'll get back to you after this song.
Each time I'm on the hook, I'm being dragged. You offer love on a silver platter. I took the bait, then you threw me back. And now you're missing, oh yeah, you're missing the nights we never had. The nights we never had. Your eyes and you see my face, boy. Does it make you feel mad? Cause now you're missing the nights we never had. You were looking for control. A millionaire that's vulnerable. But your strings couldn't get a hold. And now you're missing. Oh yeah, you're missing the nights we never had. The nights we never had. You close your eyes and you see my face, boy. Does it make you feel mad? Cause now you're missing the nights we never. Did you ever think that, baby, I was worth more than your maybe? Wish washed away the dreams you sold. You pushed then you pulled, so I let you go. The nights we never had. Close your eyes and you see my face, boy. Does it make you feel mad? Cause now you're missing the nights we never had.
This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. That song earlier was called Nights, and it was by Brittany Rogers. And it comes from the New York City podcast, Safe Music Directory. Now, I'm going to be talking about the two water crises that just hit the United States of America in the last couple of years. That was one in Flint, Michigan, and the other one in Jacksonville, Mississippi. Okay, we're going to start with Flint, Michigan. Flint, Michigan water crisis was a public health crisis that started in 2014 after the drinking water for the city of Flint, Michigan was contaminated with lead and possibly Legionella bacteria. In April 2014, during a financial crisis, state-appointed emergency manager Daniel Early changed Flint water source from the Detroit and Water Sewage Department, source from Lake Huron and the Detroit River to the Flint River. Residents complained about the taste, the smell, and the appearance of the water. Officials failed to apply corrosion inhibitors to the water, which resulted in lead from aging pipes leaching into the water supply, exposing around 100,000 residents to elevated lead levels. A pair of scientific studies confirmed that lead contamination was present in the water supply. Switty switched back to Detroit water system on October 16, 2015. It later signed a 30-year contract with the new Great Lakes Water Authority on November 22, 2017. On January 5, 2016, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder declared a state of emergency in Genesee County, of which Flint is the major populated center. Shortly thereafter, President Barack Obama declared a federal state of emergency authorizing additional help for the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Department of Homeland Security. Between 6,000 and 12,000 children were exposed to drinking water with high levels of lead. Children are particularly at risk from the long-term effects of lead poisoning, which can include a reduction in intellectual function and IQ, and an increased chance of Alzheimer's disease. The water supply change was considered a possible cause of an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease in a county that killed 12 people and affected 87, but the original source of the bacteria was never found. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the timeline of everything that happened during the Flint, Michigan crisis. Start with the pre-switch. From 1967 to 2013, the city of Flint receives water from the Detroit Water and Sewage Department. Source for Lake Huron, the city operates under the plan to use the Flint River as an emergency water source. 3 weeks after the city declared a state of emergency, on November 29, 2011, Governor Snyder appoints Michael Brown as the city's manager, effective December 1st. He is the first of such managers who will technically take the place of mayor until 2015, when a receiver's transit advisory board will be appointed. March 22, 2012. City official announced the plans for a new pipeline to reduce the cost of delivering water from Lake Huron to Flint. April 16, 2013, the city approves the Kojanowi Water Authority contract. April 17, 2013, Detroit terminates its water service contract. April 25th, 2014, after the construction delays, the water source to Flint River is completed. The date is considered the start of the water crisis. June, although not announced in 2016, an outbreak of Legionnaire disease begins and continues through November 2015. August 14th, the city announces a water boiling advisory for parts of the city. Advisory is listed on August 20th. A second warning is issued in September. October. Flint's General Motors Trucks Assembly Plant discontinues using Flint's tap water because of its high levels of chloride and eroding engine parts. January 2015. City officials declined to offer to reconnect to Lake Huron water, concerned about the higher water rates. January 21st, 2015, Flint residents complain of health issues caused by the city water. Residents bring bottles of discolored tap water to a community meeting. February 26, EPA manager Mike Miguel Del Toro detects that lead levels in the water at home of Flint resident Leon Waters are 7 times greater than the EPA's acceptable limit. March 23rd, Flint sent city council members vote to reconnect to Detroit water. Emergency manager Jerry Ambrose overrules the vote. June 24th, Del Toro states in a memo that Virginia Tech scientists led by water expert Mark Edwards found extremely high levels of 4 homes. Flint, July 9th, Flint Mayor Dane Walling drinks Flint tap water on local in an attempt to dispel residents' fears of drinking the water. July 13th, in response to Del Toro's memo, a Michigan Development Environmental Quality officials tells Michigan Radio anyone who's concerned about the lead in the drink of water in Flint can relax. September 8th, Virginia Tech's water study team reports that 40% of Flint homes have elevated levels of lead. September 9th, MDEQ spokesperson Brad Wolfel states that Flint needs to upgrade its infrastructure, but is skeptical about Virginia Tech's water study. September 24th, Hurley Medical Center pediatrician Mona Hannah Ashta released her study showing an increased number of children with high levels of lead in their blood after the water source switched to Flint River. October 15th, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder signs a bill for $9.35 million to reconnect. $9.35 million to reconnect the Detroit River water system and provide relief. The switch is made the following day. December 15th, Flint Mayor Karen Reaver declares a state of emergency. December 29th, MDEQ Director Dan Wyatt resigns. December 30th, Governor Snyder apologizes to the public for the crisis. In January 5th, 2016, Governor Snyder declares a state of emergency in Genesee County. January 6th, Governor Snyder apologizes again for the Flint water crisis. January 12th, the Michigan National Guard mobilizes to distribute water in Flint. January 13th, Governor Snyder announces that an outbreak of Legionnaire disease occurred in the Flint area between June 2014 and November 2015. January 14th, Governor Snyder asks President Barack Obama to declare a disaster in Flint. January 15, 2016, President Obama declares a state of emergency in Flint and authorizes $5 million in aid. February 3rd, the House Committee of Oversight and Government Reform holds a hearing on the Flint water crisis. February 4th, water service lines are identified as the main source of lead in tap water, but there are almost no verified service lines materials in Flint because of outdated records. Mayor Reaver appoints Michael C.H. McDaniel, a retired National Guard Brigadier General, to oversee the group leading the lead service line replacement project, the Flint Action and Sustainability Team. February 8, Governor Snyder turns down a second invitation to testify at a congressional hearing on a crisis. March 17, Governor Snyder testifies before the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. April 20, criminal charges are filed against governor and cronies like Mike Gaskell, Stephen Birch, and Mike Prisby. May 4th, President Barack Obama visits Flint to hear firsthand how residents have endured the city's water crisis and to highlight federal assistance to state and local agencies. He also drinks some filtered Flint water. July 29th, six state workers are criminally charged as investigations continue. September, the city begins using a machine learning model developed by two University of Michigan professors, which uses various data about the home and neighborhood to predict its likelihood to have a lead service line. The model is used throughout 2016 and 2017 to prioritize evictions yielding a hit rate of about 80%. November 10th, a federal judge orders the implementation of door-to-door delivery bottled water to every home without a property installed and maintained faucet filter. December 19th, State of Michigan Office of Special Counsels publishes investigative reports on Attorney General Case 16-0003, defendants of Ely, Ambrose, Croft, and Johnson. December 20, four officials are charged with the felonies of false pretenses and conspiracies. January 24th,
The MDEQ declares that in a 6-month-long study, the city's water tested below the federal limit. February 8th, state official Richard Barr confirms Flint residents that the year-long state water bill subsidy will end, effective March 1st, 2017. February 16th, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention finds that the first genetic link for the Legionnaire disease to Flint's water supply. February 20th, the state considers ending bottle distribution. March 1st, the state officially ends water bill subsidies for the residents of Flint. March 15th, President Donald Trump meets with Mayor Reaver to discuss infrastructure funding for Flint. March 16th, Snyder creates the Child Lead Exposure Elimination Commission in order to avoid future lead poisoning outbreaks. A settlement is reached between the plaintiffs and city, resulting in a federal judge approving $97 million in funding for Michigan to examine and replace lead water service lines for 18,000 Flint homes to be completed in a 3-year frame. April 18th, Weaver recommends staying in the Great Lakes Water Authority, which will reverse a 2012 decision that started the water crisis. Governor Snyder agrees with her decision. April 20, at a town hall meeting regarding the crisis, 6 people are arrested at a Flint church for disorderly conduct and interfering with the police. Meeting is criticized as having violated Michigan Openings Meeting Act. April 28th, Weaver announces that the city has plans to remove lead piping at 6,000 homes by the end of the year. The project is funded by a $100 million grant approved by Congress earlier that week. May 3rd, a notice warning 8,000 residents that their water will be turned off after lack of payment causes a controversy in the city. May 17th, it is reported that 128 blood tests in Flint may have registered falsely low lead levels. June 14th, Attorney General Bill Swish charged 5 officials in a voluntary manslaughter and 1 official with the obstruction of justice and lying to a police officer. June 30th, MDEQ threatens Flint with legal action if a water contract is not approved by June 26, 2017. Mayor Weaver calls for the Flint City Council to approve a 30-year contract with the Great Lakes Authority. After several hours of debate, the City Council decides to postpone the vote on whether to approve the 30-year GLWA Great Lakes Water Authority contract until September 2017. Here's what I'm going to do, guys, because this is a long timeline that goes all the way to 2022. The Flint, Michigan crisis seems to still be ongoing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to post the link on the bottom of my YouTube page, my YouTube channel, so you can actually look at the article yourselves. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move on to the water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi. All right. So, let's look at the first article. A water system so broken that one pipe leaks 5 million gallons a day. By Sarah Fowler of the New York Times, March 23rd, 2023. This story was first published in the New York Times on March 20, 2023. It was reported by Sarah Fowler, was focusing on the Jackson water crisis as part of the New York Times Local Investigation Fellowship. On an abandoned golf course overgrown with shrubs and sawgrass, you can hear that rushing water from 100 yards away. Near a hole four, past a little bridge of crumbling cart paths, what looks like to be a waterfall comes into view, pouring down the brush and into the creek below, except the torrent of water gushing up isn't mud from a spring-fed stream or a bubbling brook. Spewing for a broken city water line. As residents had to boil their tap water and businesses closed because their faucets was dry, the break at the Colonial Country Club squandered an estimated 5 million gallons of drinking water today, and the city had none to spare. It is enough to serve the daily needs of 50,000 people, or a third of the city residents who rely on the beleaguered water utility. No one knows for sure when the leak reaches current size, but newly appointed water officials said that the city discovered the broken pipe main pipeline in 2016 and left it to gush, even as the water gorged out the swimming pool-sized crater of the earth, and the city residents was forced to endure one drinking water crisis after the other. Jackson's water system has been flirting with the collapse for decades, thanks to a combination of mismanagement, crumbling infrastructure, and a series of ill-fated decisions that cost the utility money that it did not have. In 2022, the Justice Department reached an agreement with the city requiring it to bring an outside manager to run the water department. Residents of the city have been forced to endure chronic boil water nervousness that traverse the city like rolling blackouts. Many have learned to hoard bottled water next to round of boil noises. Intermediate bout of low water pressure can make faucets unusable for thousands of people at a time. The size of the water leak is not uncommon, said Jordan Hillman, chief operating officer at Jex Water. The management company formed last year to lead Jackson's effort to stabilize its water service. The time it took to respond to it is very uncommon. Most places will see this as an immediate threat because it's a ticking time bomb as it eats the ground away from it. You're eventually going to have a clash, catastrophic failure. It is unclear why the city and water department did not repair the leak sooner, Melissa Faith Payne, a city spokesperson, did not immediately respond to questions on Wednesday regarding the broken line. Tony Yarbrough, the former mayor of Jackson, and Keisha Powell, the former public works director, both in leadership positions in 2016, could not be reached for comment on Wednesday. The size of the Colonial Country Club leak and the fact that it went underdressed for so long hints at monumental tasks that the city and state leaders face as they work to find a lasting solution. Under the direction of newly appointed water czar, Ted Heffin, a two-person team has scoured the city in search of leaks of closed water valves, which also can affect the water pressure. Often they have turned the valves back on themselves. Leaks generally require more time and resources to address. One of the leaks is spewing water 30 feet in the air like a geyser and losing the city as much as 1 million gallons a day, Ms. Hillman said. The broken pipeline under the golf course is one of the main lines that move water from the O.B. Curtis water plant to the smaller transmission line that eventually connect to thousands of customers across the city. The 40-inch pipe is critical to South Jackson. A part of the city has suffered from the most of outages and boil water notices. Luke Garisquio, who owns the land where the golf course once operated, said he reported the leak several years ago when he noticed a broken pipe gushing water into the creek along back of his property line. Garuzzo said he lived out of the city and wasn't aware of the giant hole that has been there, been created since the leak. One of the water plants that served Jackson was built in 1914, and in another 1980s, Water lines under the city can be no more than 100 years old, and no one knows when or where a piece of pipe or equipment will fall. A combination of Jackson's aging infrastructure and recent freezes may have exacerbated the current leaks. The system faced total shutdown in March 2021 when the residents went weeks without water. In August 2022, another crisis unfolded at O.B. Curtis, and Mississippi declared a state of emergency for the capital city as water once again deemed unsafe to drink. Mr. Ted Heflin, a retired manager for the wastewater company out of Virginia that serves 1.8 million people, who has spent 40 years in public service, was working with a national nonprofit small part-time basis to address water equity in Jackson. In July, he was working from home in Virginia once day a week. But November, he was living part-time in Mississippi, appointed by the Justice Department to manage the federal takeover of the water system. He officially moved to the state in January. In months since, he was talked to state and local leaders about how to create a sustainable water system, but he's seeking solutions in a state where black city leaders and white state leaders often spar over in what is and what is not in the best of Jackson. Outside a country club on Tuesday afternoon, construction crews were preparing to begin repairs, which are expected to take a couple of weeks. Residents should see reduced water pressure for only a few hours, and water should remain safe to drink, Ms. Hillman said. Curious neighbors could see the new stacks of new pipe and hear the sounds of trees being cut. Oscar McKenzie saw crews working on the leak and assumed they were able to fix another water issue. A water main broke several years ago, he said, and flooded the streets. Like so many Jackson residents, Mr. McKenzie doesn't drink the water that comes out of the tap. He worries that what it might do to his four children. When they shower, the water makes their backs itch, he says. Several houses down, Amanda Jones passes by the new barricades on the regular, escorting her son to the school bus trip. Yeah, water pressure is steady, she said, but brown water constantly occasionally comes out of the tap. Like her neighbor, she doesn't drink the water. She hasn't in years. Sarah Fowler is reporting on a water crisis in Jackson, Miss, in the state where she was born and raised. It's part of the Times Local Investigation Fellowship. Yeah, so that is the article from the New York Times about the water crisis in Jacksonville, Mississippi, which is still recent. The fact that there's that pipeline by that abandoned golf course that allegedly is spewing out millions and a million gallons of fresh water a day, that's real crazy. You know, in the future, with these water crises, not only conserving water is important, the maintenance and monitoring the water is also important. Because what happened in Flint, Michigan, is that you got people affected with a Legionnaire's disease, lead. It was actually terrible. So, when you listen to this podcast, and you're anywhere around the world, if you have any problems with the water in your country, I think you should get in contact with the United Nations. Because the United Nations just passed a law about how fresh water should be available to every human being. And the fact that they're not maintaining the water is actually a human rights violation. Thank you for listening to this podcast. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and I'm signing off.